Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Gabriel India Limited Q4 and FY22 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Manoj Kolhatkar, Managing Director of Gabriel India Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning and a very warm welcome to everybody who's joined the call. I'm Manoj Kolhatkar. Joining me today is Rishi, our company CFO, and Nilesh Jain, our company secretary, and of course, SGA, our investor relations advisors. We have uploaded our results and investor presentation for the quarter and the year ended on the stock exchange yesterday after we had our board meeting. Hope each one of you had a chance to go through the same. Before I get into the numbers and run you through the presentation, we'll just give a brief on the overall outlook of the industry and where are we. Of course, most of you are aware of all the challenges that are, continuing to kind of hit the industry for several quarters now. Nevertheless, I'll just dwell upon, this is mainly my perspective. Coming to the industry, last year, I'm talking of 2021-22. When I refer to last year, it'll be 2021-22. The industry was a mixed bag. Yes, all the results we will compare with 2021, which was actually not the right year to compare because it was the COVID year. Nevertheless, 2021-22 for passenger cars, it was a good year. In terms of domestic sales, there was an increase compared to 2021, and in fact, the good part is in passenger cars there was an increase compared to even 1920 on the domestic sale figures. So if you see the total domestic exports, there was almost a 17% increase compared to 2021. Of course, the industry was faced with a lot of challenges, mainly the semiconductor shortages. These numbers could have been more. As we all know, there's a huge waiting list for any car that you want to buy from the market, which holds, which is a good thing because that clearly signals a robust demand pipeline for the passenger cars. However, coming to two-wheelers, the story is, different and unfortunately it continues to be under severe stress for several years now. So two-wheeler volumes were actually down by 3% if you take domestic and export both put together. But if you look at only domestic, in fact, the figures are even more adverse. It is almost down by 9% compared to last year. Exports did very well. Basically, Bajaj and TVS continued to export very good volumes all through the last year. So that helped us as well. The reasons for two-wheelers, of course, is first and foremost is the COVID second wave, which hit in April, June. It almost, kind of devastated the rural segment. That really shook their confidence. And then immediately, if there were any signs of revival, it was again hit by the Omicron wave. So there's a lot of uncertainty in the minds of the people. Adding to this, yes, of course, there is the EV. So that's mainly on the metro side, I would say, that people are waiting for the EV thing to pan out. So it's to some extent wait and watch. And of course, the demand is also low because, many are still operating from home. The schools are still not entirely operating. So, obviously this affects the schools and colleges. So this affects, two-wheeler and three-wheeler demand both. So it's still challenging days for two-wheelers, and it is, of course, hope. It might last, though, of course, we did hear from the largest player in the country, Hero MotoCorp, that they are optimistic about a revival as far as the two-wheeler is concerned after this monsoon. Commercial vehicle was, of course, a very good recovery. Commercial vehicle volumes grew by almost 30%. So the trend continues into the year. We expect to continue the same growth rate, maybe about 20% in the year 22-23 as well. Tractors, of course, Gabriel does not play in this segment. Tractors, there was again a drop of 1%. Of course, we had an excellent sale in the year of 2021, but then last year was a little correction to that. ICRA's recent survey on auto dealership to understand current demand and supply trends across various segments indicated that demand may remain weaker than last year. But we'll have to wait and watch. There are supply challenges which continue. Adding to the semiconductors was this, the Ukraine war. So that has even, further aggravated the situation. And of course, the rising commodity prices also have played truant. Of course, all of us are yet to see the impact of, the recent government intervention on the steel prices just a couple of days back. It's early days, but hopefully that should see a change in the commodity trend for the main commodity, which is steel, for all of us. During the last quarter, the demand for PV, as I said, remained very, very healthy. We are very, very optimistic about the passenger car particularly. Coming to electric vehicles, they are becoming more and more visible, and the usage is increasing across all segments. So the two-wheeler story, we all know, in the month of Jan, Feb, March, we had, sales of 50,000 in a month, which is, if you see the entire last year, the growth for EV has been almost, for two-wheelers has almost been 400%. If you take the full year for last year in terms of registered vehicles, I'm not talking about unregistered. Unregistered is a similar 50%. It's a 50-50 market. The last year, 21-22, we sold about 231,000 two-wheelers. And now the hit rate per month is almost 50,000. So you can see, clearly in 22-23, very likely that this figure might actually go close to a million mark as well, if all things go well. The way each EV maker is indicating their schedules, we are quite hopeful that this should see, a continued, huge growth in two-wheeler segment, especially the scooters, of course. Passenger cars still are a very small number, but nevertheless catching a lot of traction. Tata Motors Nexon is selling almost 3,000 a month. MG has come up with a new model that is also doing well, and there are other players as well getting into the fray. Plus, there are lots of announcements from Mahindra now, where they'll be introducing the concept sometime in the second quarter. On their born electric vehicles, as they say, clean sheet electric vehicle platform. So a lot of action that is bound to happen in passenger car space as well. Three-wheelers, of course, the adoption there has been the highest, and the conversion will be the highest. So easily we can see more and more three-wheelers getting converted to EVs. So this is, in short, just what the industry did look like last year, and of course also to some extent I did indicate as to how it will pan out in this year as well in terms of 22-23. So now moving to the numbers, I'll take you through the slides quickly. We of course have to start with the COVID, because COVID, while we say it is behind us, we all hope it is behind us, but there is again a prediction of a fourth wave. Hopefully it will be mild and people are going for the third shot, booster shot. We in our group also have decided to extend the booster shot to employees. So hopefully, we should not should not see any adverse impact of COVID. Nevertheless, just to mention that our precautions continue. We being a very, a conscious company and a group, we continue to take all the precautions as regards COVID appropriate behavior. Now moving on, in terms of the results, we had an excellent quarter in the Q4, the best ever actually. So we did a sale of 684 crore, which is highest by a long margin. Yes, this does have the commodity impact to some extent, but even if you discount that, it still has been the best sales as regards Gabriel, the best quarter ever. And in terms of EBITDA, we did 37 crores, which is 5.5%. Yes, we continue to have challenges in the commodity. That is not easing. We all know the steel price hike that happened in March and April was really something unforeseen. None of the industry expected that to happen. So yes, the government intervention was actually imminent, which thankfully has happened. So we'll have to see we'll have to see the impact. But in terms of PBT, we have been able to maintain 5.5%, which is 37 crores for the quarter. Going to the slide 8, just the highlights. Revenue for the year, again, the highest sale year ever, 2,332 crores, which is compared to last year, of course, which was a COVID year, the growth is almost 38%. EBITDA for the full year is 6.3%. So again, if you see the growth over FY21, it is 42.3%. Yes, I have to again mention that this year, in 21-22, we had a month of COVID impact, actually almost 2 months of COVID impact in the month of May and to some extent in June as well. So it was not, the year was not completely, free from COVID. But yes, despite that, I think the company did manage really good sales for the year. PBT was 126 crores, which is 5.4%. Again, a growth of 62.3% compared to FY21. Balance sheet net cash position of almost 280 crores. Cash flow from operations to the tune of 96 crores compared to, of course, a higher inflow last year of 204 crores. In the year, we incurred capex of almost 67 crores. Going to slide 9, these are again the same numbers. I'm not spending that. Let's move to slide 10, giving the trend. The EBITDA trends have been under pressure, mainly while we have got the raw material compensation from the customers. Impact because it has happened, this increase has happened quarter after quarter after quarter with no abatement in sight. Obviously this plays even on a simple arithmetic, even if we get 100% compensation, there is an impact on the margins. This slide 12 is again the trend. So if you see on the full year basis, EBITDA has started moving up. EBITDA, PAT, and ROC both have started moving up from the downtrend in the last year, 2021. The net working capital days also has reduced to 17 days. The rest are key ratios. I'll just spend maybe on the slide 14, which is the segment mix. The passenger car sales did quite well last year. And even CV, as I said, has started doing very good volumes. So you'll see a shift to that extent slightly. In terms of aftermarket, we have 12%. Exports, of course, was a good year for exports. We crossed 100 crore of exports in the year. But yes, unfortunately, I must also say that we have been hit by the Russia war because part of our exports was to Volkswagen of Russia. So we'll have to wait till those volumes start back. Coming to the next slide, which is on two-wheelers, three-wheelers, which is 66% of our sale. Our market share continues to be 25%. Our engagement with all OEMs remains as strong as it was. We continue to get awards. We got an award from Honda Motorcycles for new product development, which is a very, very key category of awards, especially being a global company and the world leader in two-wheelers. So that's a very prestigious award that we have got. We also got an award from TVS Motors for quality, cost, and delivery. So we have, you know, in fact, strengthened our relationships based on solid, you know, performance of the products and the programs that the OEMs have asked from us. Coming to the passenger car, you know, many of the programs that we had started have started, you know, getting to SOP. Some, in fact, many of them are due. The new program, which you can see here on slide number 16, Maruti Suzuki, codenamed Y0M, YWD, and YSG. All these programs are going to start in this year, some in August, some in December. So this will add to the volumes further. The Stellantis or the PSA, Peugeot Citro, has already started. Volumes are very low. The important thing is this is a global company which is looking at sourcing opportunities from India. So we are very strongly engaged with them. They have been very, very satisfied with, you know, all the work that we have done so far. I mean, there has been a very good engagement at all levels as far as Stellantis is concerned. Coming to commercial vehicles, yes, I think we all know we have a huge market share here. So, you know, we continue to have that confidence from the OEMs. Our export program DAF, you know, we have got two more programs. We had started DAF exports last year. We won the award for the best new supplier. So this is a global award from DAF of Netherlands. And in addition, just a couple of weeks back, we won the PACCAR. PACCAR is the group, holding group of DAF. So from PACCAR, we got the 10 PPM award, which is awarded to only select suppliers globally. So we got that award as well. So the engagement with DAF is again very strong. We have already been extended for the DAF Brazil products as well. So that is an addition that has happened last year. Volumes are small, but the good part is, you know, their confidence in us is growing. Aftermarket was, a terrific year last year. We did excellent sales of 331 crores, again, the highest ever, of course. That growth story continues. So we expect to build on this further going forward. Exports, I already mentioned. This is slide number 19 shows the exports. Yes, there is a setback, which is temporary. Volkswagen is also working out alternatives to, you know, to this production in Russia. So, but we'll have to wait and watch for some time. Balance sheet, capex. For I'll just mention the capex. We did, as I said, 68 crores for the last year, and the main capex was the tech center. We have inaugurated. We have started our new tech center, four-wheeler tech center. It is a really beautiful building, and also we have our own small test track for noise testing alongside the tech center, and we have all the latest equipment with provisioning for additional seats in terms of engineering design. We also expanded in our casting plant to reduce our dependence on China. So that has already happened. I mean, the tonnage has almost gone double as far as our casting capacity is concerned. It's almost close to 300 tons a month now. In Deva's plant, we are expanding to have a new paint line to improve the quality and, of course, to improve productivity and efficiency of the whole paint line. So these are the key capex for 21-22. And these are, the cash flows, etc. So I'll not spend time on this, but I'd rather leave the floor open for questions from you. Just one point that, of course, the dividend, yesterday we declared a final dividend of 1 rupee in addition to the already declared 0.55 or 55 paisa. So the total dividend stands at 1 rupee 55 paisa per share. I would actually leave it open to questions, and keen to hear your queries, your clarifications, your suggestions.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question may enter star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Viraj from Securities Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for good set of numbers in such a challenging environment. Just a couple of questions. First is, you know, so in this 24, we kind of, you know, mentioned about our performance in all end segments. So if you can just provide, you know, how much of this growth has come from existing customers as against new ones. And related question is in terms of share of EV sales, how much would that be, say, in Q4 or FY22, and how should we see this scaling up in coming year? So that is one.
Okay. Yeah, thanks, Viraj. So yes, our share with existing customers, you know, with some of the customers is actually increasing. Royal Enfield, with TVS, with Maruti Suzuki, with Tata Motors, I can say, I mean, top of the mind, this, and yes, of course, the Honda motorcycles, because we, as I mentioned last year, we won the new motorcycle award from Honda Motorcycles. Those numbers are yet to come, but that will further increase our SOV with HMSI. Now, talking about electric, where, you know, we already have, over 50% market share, you know, so that has been a very solid story. So we are engaged, as you know, till now we are engaged with Okinawa, Ampere, Ather, TVS, and of course Ola. Ola has started doing good numbers now. In fact, just a couple of days back, I did meet Mr. Bhavish Agrawal. So, I mean, and they have expressed, great satisfaction on the partnership that we have extended to them in terms of, you know, supplying the parts. So Ola volumes are doing well. So this share of business in EV will only increase as Ola volumes go higher and higher. Now, the only player that we did not have in the EV, two-wheeler EV segment was Hero Electric, which is the market leader, as you know. So I'm glad to share that we have won the LOI from Hero Electric for a new model, which will start, the SOP should start in Q2 of this year, Q2 or early Q3. This is a model where the volumes that they have indicated in year 26-27 are likely to go to 1 million. So this is a huge order. I mean, the order size itself is over, 250 crores. So this is, you know, one very good development. So we now have, in terms of EV two-wheelers, where, you know, the conversion is happening extremely fast. In fact, there are some cities where the penetration of EVs is already hit 17%. In 2022, you know, which is really very encouraging. In fact, what they said was the penetration will go to 20% by 2025 was the general prediction. We are seeing 17% penetration already in couple of cities in India. So now, with this addition of Hero, our entrenchment in EV two-wheelers becomes even more stronger. With Ola volumes going up, this 50% will immediately see a increase to maybe 55%, 60%. So yeah, the EV two-wheeler story is really quite strong.
And this 250 crore order which you said from Hero Electric, that is over what life cycle, or that's the annual volume we are talking about?
That's the annual volume I'm talking about. I'm talking the peak annual volume. As per the numbers they have indicated, yes, you know, the numbers, I mean, obviously we have to, we don't know how the vehicle perform in the market, but just going purely by the numbers they indicated, that is the volume size. So if you see the program life, it will be much more.
Okay, so this will be a couple of models, right? Not just one model.
No, this is just one model.
Okay. Second question is, you know, on the margins front, you know, you mentioned that on the RM, you know, we got price increases, but is the large part of the inflation now in the books, or we expect any further, cost inflation? And related to that, you know, how should we understand margins moving for us, say, in 23? I mean, have we got any further price increase? Because the mix has been quite favorable, and based on the indication, the mix will be even more favorable in 2023, especially with CV, aftermarket, and LP coming up for us.
Viraj, sorry, your voice is a little, I mean, not entirely clear, but anyway, I'll try to answer that. I hope I got what you're asking. In terms of our RM compensation, raw material compensation, we get almost, I would say, 95% back-to-back with OEMs. I mean, so if you look at, basically, it's steel, aluminum, rubber, and oil. I mean, these are the key components that go in a shock absorber or a front strut or a front fork. So we get from all OEMs back-to-back arrangement. Yes, maybe it's with a lag. It depends, as I said, 3 months or 6 months. But we are moving everybody to a 3 month cycle now, mainly. The commercial vehicle is a longer cycle. But let's say two-wheeler and passenger car, which is a much higher volume game, there we have a back-to-back arrangement. So we have been able to do that. Yes, I mean, there have been other increases, mainly, as you know, increases in freight, increases in packaging, increases in every commodity that we speak currently, some which are not direct materials, so they do not get covered. So we are not, I mean, of course, have been requesting OEMs to support on that front as well. Yes, hopefully something of that should materialize in 2022-23. So yes, I mean, we are pushing this very hard. We have taken a focused effort and a focused exercise in the company to get compensation beyond raw material compensation.
Okay, just one more question if I can squeeze in.
One point, if you're on a speaker mode, switch to handset and speak, please.
Yeah, is it better now?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is, you know, in the last call, we briefly talked about the parent and our participation in PLI. So since the list is now final and out, if you can just provide some plans, you know, anything, if you can provide in detail our plans, you know, what segments we'll be looking at, you know, what is CapEx or investment and our play in it.
Yeah, so we are actually, we have zeroed down on a particular product category. So we are right now doing the market research on that particular product. So it's early days. I'm not able to share more with you at this stage.
Okay, so it will be outside of the traditional drive control product.
Yes. Okay.
Okay, I'll come back in queue. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take our next question, we'd like to remind participants to ask a question. You may enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Lakshmi Narayan from ICICI Prudential. Please go ahead.
Thank you. A couple of questions. Now, over the last couple of years, we have done a good job in reducing the conversion cycle, where we see that we have actually reduced the inventory levels, etc. Right. So what is the plan forward? Can we maintain at these levels, or you think that it will normalize to the pre 2018 levels?
Lakshmi, if you're talking of our working capital efficiency or, you know, our efficiency of, inventory turns, I think that we can improve even further. This is certainly not the end. I think there is still scope for improvement, and there are very clear efforts going on and some initiatives going on in terms of leveraging SAP to a much larger extent to give us, you know, better efficiencies in terms of inventory and scheduling.
Got it. And what kind of CapEx you intend to do for FY23?
FY23 will be mainly it'll be over 100 crores. It would be in the range of, I would say, 120.
And can you split that between maintenance CapEx and growth CapEx?
Yes.
Give and take, we do roughly 20 to 30 odd crores of maintenance capex every year, and the remaining would be for strategic projects or for debottlenecking of the capacity.
Got it. And you touched upon freight expenses in general, right? So there was an increase in freight expenses. So last year, if you look at it, we incurred close to freight and forwarding around 30 crores. How that here?
You mean what has been the freight expense this year?
Yeah, yeah. Last year we incurred 29.7 crores.
Yeah.
Other expenses.
Well, I don't have the figure offhand, but maybe we can come back to you. I'll just refer, Rishi is just referring to that. But yeah, it's, I mean, just to say that freight has been, you know, increasing, especially exports, both inbound and outbound, imports and exports outbound, have been going up by 4 times and 5 times. But the good part is the cycle is changing. We are seeing a bit of easing in the freight rates as well. We've seen almost a $500 per container reduction already. So we are hopeful that the freight rate should start easing off. The fuel price also, you saw the latest government intervention. So with that, it should ease up. Rishi, you have the figure?
Over 8 million.
So the figure is 42 crores for this year.
Okay, from 30 it went to 42 crores. Okay.
So on, you know, last year we did 1700 crores and this year we did 2300 crores. So.
Fair enough, fair enough. Now, material margin, you know, over a period of time, this is at 22% out, right? It was, you know, we exited last year at around 25%. So there has been a drop in material margin. So what is, I mean, how fast you can claw back to at least 25% material margin?
Luckily, I think for sure, once the commodity trend starts reversing, we will see that happening. Difficult to say. I mean, as I said, it's not only me, but the entire industry expected price corrections to start in April 21, which never happened. But the only thing is, if you see the early signs now, and also there was an article some time back about, you know, the futures of steel, which is expected to come back to the earlier rates by the end of this year, and the latest government intervention that happened a couple of days back, the fuel price reduction, the container freight reduction. So we hope that the cycle should start turning. I really cannot guess whether it will happen in Q1, Q2, very difficult. But the margins will surely come back from them. Second, that is the market side, right? Now, second is what can we do internally? So, again, we just had our annual goal-setting workshop in the month of April, where, you know, each of the team has been tasked with a clear focus on margin improvement, both on the sales marketing side, that's also on the raw material or you know, the production teams to improve efficiencies. So we will certainly see margins improving from this quarter itself.
And actually, just to add to what we've spoken, even if we have 100% recovery of every single commodity increase that we give it to the vendors, with that calculation also, there would be a 2% impact on the gross margin, owing to the numerical impact, the mathematical or the denominator effect, as we call it. So that also has to be factored into. This is an amount that can reverse only when you see a downward cycle.
But I didn't get that part. Can you just elaborate a bit?
Well, it's like this, you know, if let's say my price is 100 rupees and my raw material is 70%, and the raw material goes up from 70 to 80. Okay, so my RMC, and I get a 10 rupee, that 10 rupee increase, I get a compensation of it. So my price becomes 110. So 70% becomes 72.7%. You know, even if I get 100% compensation.
Got it.
Yeah. So
okay.
That's the effect that is playing out. Again, as I said, it's not only for us, it's for the industry. The OEMs are themselves under pressure. They have passed on several price increases. You know, it will start turning unproductive on the demand side if it goes on like that. So we'll have to, of course, this year we have decided that we should pursue this in a focused manner.
Got it. And one strategic question. So if you look at 5 years back, 4 years back, when you when you thought the organization, you know, when you planned for a few things sitting in FY17, what are the things which have actually positively surprised you and you've actually gone ahead of your expectations, and which are the ones which did not meet your expectations? And I mean, leaving the COVID aside, right?
Yeah.
So the last 5 years, how we have strengthened the company better, and what is the plan forward now?
Okay. So several points on that. One is, you know, clearly, you know, our quality offering to the customer has improved significantly. You know, as I said, while we keep sharing awards, an award is a manifestation of the confidence of the customer in us. So, you know, that's why we keep sharing the awards with all of you. So the quality image, the quality perception has for sure improved, which is so very important in the auto component industry. That is one. Second, our technology capability has improved in two-wheelers and in four-wheelers also. It is, you know, significantly improved now. That's how you see more and more business pipeline coming through. The third is exports. We have unlocked some key marquee customers, which should help unlock, you know, many more. You know, we took a lot of time in unlocking that, but now with these marquee customers in our kitty, we should for sure improve that even further. So, you know, then the other point is the overall customer relationship aspect, both from the company side and the group side, has also improved significantly, at least with the key customers. That has been another good story. Our focus on cash management has also, I would say, you know, been improving. Yes, we can never forget the COVID year, but even COVID year, I think we were not so badly placed compared to the rest of the industry. So these are some of the good points. If you ask me, even the I mean, of course, the EV's sales, EV market share in two wheelers is for sure a success story. That is one more thing. So if you ask me, I mean, these are some of the things that, you know, top of the mind, which I would thought I can share as the positives.
Got it. I mean, and if you look at the EBITDA margins, have actually you know, declined gradually from 9.3% to 6%, right? Now, I think this will, you know, claw back to you know, some better level, whether it will take a year, 2 years, because, I mean, how do you plan for the next 5 years?
Yeah, so like you asked the question, what has been the positive surprise? The negative surprise has been this commodity, which is really, really hit, again, all of us, completely unforeseen kind of situation. So it will take some time for us to claw back to that. You know, our target remains double digit. We are taking exercises internally to still push towards double digit. Time frame is, you know, honestly, actually difficult to answer.
Got it. Just one last observation from my side. See, what has happened is, you know, as a group, we take 2% fee on our revenues. Now, from an inflation point of view, what happens is that the parent keeps getting higher share, right? And that actually has a double impact for shareholders, because the EBITDA margin is going down and the inflation is actually hitting, right? So from a number point of view, if you look at it, the fee to the parent has actually gone up 14% in the last 4 years, from FY19 to FY22, the absolute dividend payout to minority shareholders have gone up only by 3.3% on a cumulative basis, right? How do you address this? Because it is actually creating difficulties for shareholders, and the inflation is good for the parent. Have you thought about it, and have you discussed in the board, and any views on that?
Well, Lakshmi, difficult for me to take this on the call, but I've noted your point. But I can tell you that, you know, in terms of the group, there has been, you know, like the hero order that I just mentioned, you know, it's, I would say it's mostly come from our group support, Similarly, there are several other business connections that we make. The improvement in share in Maruti is also to a, while the company has performed, but you know, there are so many players, there are four players they have. So this is where, you know, the group support for sure counts, even in terms.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree on the group thing, because that's group has to be compensated. The only thing is that instead of as a percentage of revenue, if you can actually think about percentage of the PBT, then the interests are much better aligned.
Lakshmi, I've noted your point.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Any participant who wishes to ask a question may enter star and one. The next question is from the line of Priya Ranjan from HDFC Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. So my question is, I mean, in terms of the price recovery or in terms of the inflation, how much we have got the inflation benefit in terms of top line, and how much is under recovery in terms of commodity pass-through is still in the numbers?
Over, for the full year, 8.5% is on account of the commodity, and the remaining would be volume. On account of recovery percentage, we are upwards of 85%, including all the segments.
Okay. So, but recovery go beyond 90%, or is mostly it's fixed, gets at around 90% level?
The answer to you is yes, it can go up. One part of the business, which is 13%, is aftermarket. There, such kind of commodity indexation is difficult because it is also dependent upon what the competition is doing with regards to the price. Second is with regards to some of the segments which have got a longer settlement cycle, we cannot accrue in the books the impact which we will get in the next quarter or in some cases in the next half year. In cases of export also, the settlement cycles are longer than 6 months. So there also there is a timing lag. So that, considering if I remove the lag part of it, certainly it can go above 90%.
Okay, got it. And coming back to the growth aspect, so now, I mean, this year was also, as you mentioned, I mean, Manoj mentioned about 2 months of impact in terms of COVID and our higher market share in two-wheeler EV part. So how should we look at the growth? Because the last year growth was also pretty decent, even if I remove the commodity benefit in the top line. And the secondly, on the what will be the impact of Russia in terms of our export growth? Will our export be broadly flattest this year, or how should we look at it?
The growth for this year, I mean, I can only tell you in terms of the industry side, we are looking at the passenger car growth of almost 10%, and commercial vehicle growth of almost 20-25% is what we are looking at. But two wheelers, it's a flat kind of scenario we are factoring in. I think while, as I said, there was some optimism, but I'm still a little doubtful about whether the demand will improve. Electric two-wheelers, yes, the growth story I did already share. I mean, we had a 400% growth last year. I don't see why it should not be the same this year, where our market share is better. So that is where it stands. Aftermarket is quite strong. I think the growth there should definitely continue in 20% region. Exports, unfortunately, it'll actually be a degrowth because we had a good order from Volkswagen Russia, and to be honest, I don't see that changing for at least Q1 and Q2.
Mm-hmm. Understood. And in terms of our market share in four-wheeler, I mean, we have got many new wins in last say one, two years. So how should we look at market share in the four-wheeler, I mean the passenger car side?
We were, hovering around 20% earlier. Now it's already gone to 23%, and I think we can definitely get this up to in the next 3 to 4 years. This can definitely go more towards 28%.
Okay, got it. And lately, we have seen a lot of movement in the railway side. So. In terms of wagon procurement, new types of wagon, etc. So, I think our market share in even in railway is pretty significant. So what is our sense in that segment growth maybe for the next 1 or 2 years?
Yes, the tenders are yet to come, but yeah, I mean, there has been news that, you know, they're adding 4,300 coaches of LHBs, etc. So yeah, I mean, last 2 years have been pretty bad for railways. I mean, the figures have been flat actually, or negative. So this year, if those plans actually converted to tenders, we will certainly see a growth in railways. We'll have to wait and watch for that.
And in terms of, lastly, on the in terms of localization, I think last 2-3 years, part of the capex has been going into in terms of localization. So, but still, we are not able to see that benefit in terms of the gross margin or so. Why do you think? I mean, is it something? There is a lead lag impact in that, or what's your sense on that?
No, so in fact, these projects of localization, which we classify under the Core 90 program, on a year basis has given us the results that we have desired. Having said that, there are other factors which have also contributed in terms of increasing the RMC percentage. To give you a ballpark number, 0.5 to 0.9% has been the benefit which we have derived out of these programs.
Okay, got it. All the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any participant who wishes to ask a question may enter star and one. Our next question is from the line of Ankit Mathare from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Just on the EV, two-wheeler EV outlook, I just want to check with you, while we have seen a lot of news flow around the capacity ramp-up from players, we are also hearing they are facing chip shortage issue, which are, hindering the ramp-up per se. And also the recent fire incidents could have sort of hampered the momentum. So if you could talk about how you are seeing this growth rate in two-wheeler EVs going forward, that would be useful, of course, for you and for the industry both.
Yeah, so I mean, yes, there have been these fire incidents that have happened, but if you see even even the last month, let's say April, and even the way May is going, I think people have kind of accepted that and moved on. I don't think, you know, because the proposal of EV is very compulsive, you know, the payback is really solid. Especially if the fuel price is going higher, you know, you recover your initial higher vehicle cost. If you look at the total cost of ownership in I think 2.5 years at the current fuel rates. So it's very compulsive to switch over to EV. Any new thing is going to have issues. So we are seeing those fires. Some are being blown, I must say, a bit out of proportion as well. So I don't see that impact. Yes, the positive is that the two-wheeler EV makers have taken this and improved their quality. They're working on improving their quality and technology. So that's the positive. I don't see that affecting in a big way. I still believe, I mean, that 50,000 per month can easily go to 100,000 per month in this year itself, for sure. So by the end of the year, the two-wheelers will be close to, in the range of 8 lakh to 10 lakh, I mean, closing to a million two-wheelers. I'm talking about registered. Unregistered is something, you know, which we don't have the figures. So, but approximately the ratio is, now there are more registered, so ratio is, I would say, 50-50 for both. And as regards Gabriel, I already told you, our engagement is going stronger. From, let's say, Ather, Ola, Okinawa, Ampere, I mean, all these players, the indication that we have for the future months is quite good and increasing. So all reason to believe that this 400% growth last year will get repeated this year as well.
Understood. So basically, you're not seeing any chip shortages per se for the
fact. Talk about chip shortages. Chip shortages are hitting them, but they have, I mean, they have so far managed. I think they should. And the chip issue also is getting, I mean, it's not behind us for sure, but it's getting, eased to some extent. So I don't see chip shortages, affecting them in a big way, because the overall volumes are still still not very big, Ankit. So
sure.
All that we say is it's only, even if I say 400% growth, it's 1 million compared to, you know, 15-16 million for IC engines. So I don't see a major issue there.
Understood. And on the PV ramp-up part, we have been hearing a lot of order book backlog, again, because of chip shortages. How are you seeing the industry cope up with the chip shortage issue at the moment?
Yeah, as per industry, it says that it will go on for, you know, the first half of this year, for sure. But there will be no degrowth. As I said, the 10% increase in PV market is what is the expectation of the industry. I think we remain firm on that.
Understood. And coming to the new order wins in Maruti specifically, you talked about three new platforms. Now, are these new platforms or these are upgrades? Because we have typically not seen Maruti launch three products in one year per se before this. So, and would these be, and could you specify any specific categories? Would these all be in utility vehicles?
Right. So one is a new platform, which is YWD or the Maruti Jimny, which is doing quite well overseas. So this is completely new. You can always say that it's replacing Gypsy, but Gypsy is long gone. So it's
sure.
A new platform completely. Then Y0M, the other two are replacements. Yes, one is the new Brezza, and the other is the new Alto.
The new Alto. Understood. Okay. And just on the, finally, on the two-wheeler part, when you talked about flat growth, given that we have seen 3 years of a decline in two-wheelers, and even last year, if you recall, as you rightly pointed out, we had a COVID hit month, so the base was also pretty low. Despite that, you still think it will only be a flattish kind of a growth even this year?
Yes, because some of it is going to get going to flow into the EV segment. So EV segment is, as I said, the growth is, a number is small, but the growth is pretty high. So that will, the metro scooter demand will get shifted here. In fact, we are seeing that play out in the rural segment as well. But overall, I still see a flattish kind of figure. Monsoon, as you know, is the early indications are not very good. While it's predicted to be normal, but pre-monsoon is already deficient, so we'll have to wait and watch. Difficult to guess, but I would say flat is a better guess to have.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star and one. Next question is from the line of Shrimant Doria, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for the opportunity.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Mr. Dazoria. I think you're on a speaker mode. Can you please switch it to handset and speak?
Is it better now?
Yeah, much better.
Right, okay. A couple of questions. Firstly, with the investments, that were done in the last financial year, 22, and, that have been planned in 23, what would be the capacity increase that we are looking across segments? That's the first question.
Okay, so the capacity increase, which we have done, as I said, we have got these new orders from Maruti Suzuki. So some of it is already, done last year, and some is will be done in this 22-23. This will take care of that that additional volumes that we have got for. For Maruti Suzuki. In two-wheeler side, mainly the EV plus the new Hero order, Hero Electric order that I already mentioned. Both Ola put, pushing their numbers, so that will obviously, we had already invested, but yes, we may have to do a bit of debottlenecking additionally.
But
in addition to capacity, of course, one important thing that we've done is investing in technology. Which is not directly capacity, but in terms of our capability. We have invested in the R&D center. We are investing in developing our own electronic suspension. you know, that's that program is already underway.
Okay, but with the investments that has been done, is there a number which you could share? You know, say X units was the capacity say last year, and this would become, you know, say so much at the end of next financial year.
Number of units, you said? Okay, I don't have an answer right now for that, but Srimath, maybe we'll revert back to you on that. It's roughly 40 million. But in terms of exact, you know, with these additional investments, we'll have to get back to you.
Okay. In this context, wanted to understand at present what utilization levels we are running at.
Yeah. So it's different if you across segments. I mean,
yeah.
Look at two-wheeler. That figure would be. Yeah, for two-wheeler, it's about 65%. Passenger car, it's both put together would be same range, 65. Commercial vehicle would be a little higher, more at 70%.
Okay. So the two-wheeler 65 includes the electric vehicles?
Yeah. So there is a... There's a mix, you know, in terms of, let's say, one plant is running at, you know, actually maybe 80% plus. There's one plant which is running at 50%. So, you know, I'm talking on a mixed basis.
Yeah, understood. Fair enough. Lastly, if you could also share, you know, while the top line includes an impact of the inflation in the commodity, so what would be the volume that was sold in, say, the full year FY22 and how does it compare with 20 and 21, if you have that number?
Srimad, again, as I said, on the volumes, we'll revert back to you. But if you look at the growth, like Rishi had mentioned, you know, there's about 8 to 9% of commodity increase in the top line. So you just have to knock off 8 to 9%.
Okay.
You know, the rest is volume growth, more or less.
Okay, thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sashank Kanodia from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Sir, there were some recent media articles mentioning Anand Group looking at $100 to $150 million of investment.
Mr. Kanodia, could you use your handset or if you're, on your handset and speak? We can't hear you clearly.
Yeah, is it better now?
Yeah.
Yeah, sir, recently there was a media article mentioning Anand Group planning investment of $100 billion for EV component. So will Gabriel have any role to play in that domain?
So this is mainly through, you know, the motor. I mean, we have formed a JV with Mando, but it's an un-majority owned JV. Currently, they are making, they're into two-wheeler motors, which will extend to even four-wheeler motors. Motors and controllers, so that's already started. They've started supplying SOP. There are some additional products also in terms of the HMI or the human machine interface, the clusters for two-wheelers, chargers for two-wheelers. So we are exploring. We are in fact even charging infrastructure is part of it. So it's being explored at the group level. As of now. I mean, Gabriel is not a part of it, but we can't. We can't dismiss it either.
Does Mando is the same venture from where we supply the shock absorbers to the Korean OEMs, right? The Hyundai is like here.
That's right. So Mando is mainly a brakes and electric power steering supplier, and also they supply ADAS to most of the OEMs in India. So. Yeah, they do supply shock absorbers to Hyundai and Kia.
And we make the inner tubes for them, right?
Pardon?
We make the inner aluminum tubes for them, right?
Yeah, the piston rods.
And secondly, sir, we would also raise a similar concern regarding the royalty and the legal fee that we pay to the group level. So, it might be roughly 2% of the top line, but if you consider the PAT level, it's roughly half the PAT of what you would drop annually. I think we have raised a similar concern with the IR team, but I'm not very sure whether it is stable to you or not. But I think is a there should be a concept wherein if you can be thinking about the key that to fix the period.
Okay, Chirag, noted, as I said, you noted that.
Even Maruti, if you might have noticed, the royalty fees are not declined, right? So the Maruti doesn't pay the same royalty on the same wagon which was launched 20 years back. So I think there is a strong case for you to maybe issue.
Yeah.
Lastly, sir, on the five, your vision 2025, any inorganic acquisitions that you've zeroed upon or any size or anything that you can share to be in the top five?
Yes, yes. So that Shashank, we are pursuing. In fact, we did visit one company as well, but unfortunately, the company was let's say not up to the mark in terms of compliance standards, and we have a certain way we do business, and we want compromise on certain aspects. So we had to reject that target, but. We are at the moment also evaluating a couple of other opportunities, so it goes on. I think the effort is definitely on.
But for me to do the top five, we have to have $1 billion of sales, right? That is what you can join in.
Yes, yes, yes. If you translate that into numbers, it should be around that figure, yeah.
Thank you so much, Vishal.
Thank you, Shank. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is a follow-up from the line of Priyaranjan from HDFC Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Sure. Just one thing, I mean, in terms of our top line or even within the two-wheeler segment, how much is the revenue now coming from the electric side? Overall or two-wheeler, whichever way you want to say.
Yeah, so the number is still small, but I can just give you an approximate, in terms of percentage or the volume, it should be... It's just 2 to 3%. It's still very low.
Okay. And just another thing is on the tax rate. I mean, why we are paying still higher tax rate? Are we not moving to 25% rate? Tax rate.
So, I'll take that question. So basically, we have moved into the regime of 25%. Once you have the full set of financials, you can see the tax working as well into it. So what happened is that there was an impact of a deferred revenue from the previous year to a close of 41 million, which has resulted into the current tax rate being higher, both as compared to previous year as well as the 25% that we are supposed to have an effective tax rate for.
Okay. Got it. And just, I mean, just for us, I mean, we are also one of the large shareholders, so we would also like to have the same concern around royalty part, so which is because the commodity benefit is actually getting transferred in terms of a higher royalty, so would request you to consider and have a detailed discussion on that within the group.
Thanks, Priya.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Lakshmi Narayan from ICICI Prudential. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks again. So when you look at some of the clients in the EV space, their balance sheets are not good when they are in the mode of funding, right? So how do you ensure that when you set up a capacity, you don't risk yourself by committing more? And whether it is interoperable, that what you supply for the electric vehicle, in case for some reason they just go kaput, right? Whether you can actually use it for others, and how are you thinking about this particular risk?
Yeah, so valid points. What we do in terms of we have an elaborate process because there are there are about 300 plus or in fact even 400 registered EV companies, EV two-wheeler companies, mainly two-wheeler and three-wheeler. So many of them will finally, like you said, go kaput. So we have a process by which we, before we quote or before we engage with the customer, we do a kind of a, due diligence internally to see, what is the reputation, what is the pedigree, what is the funding pattern. So we do that. And second is, so sometimes we actually, regret not going ahead with them. The second point is we recover the development cost and you know the engineering cost from these people so that at least you know on cost front if things don't go well we have recovered our cost which we spent on developing and developing the product and also we do take any specific investments as a compensation from them and in case in the worst case if they don't you know if they fold up or something you know fortunately these lines and these investments are completely fungible other than the specific tooling that I need for the casting at which is compensated from the customer I can use practically everything to cater to some other customer
thank you sir
so just to say that the risk is you know quite low on that as far as we are concerned
okay
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference back to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. So once again, thank you all. Clearly could see you know, a lot of interest in terms of course, how do we get back our margins, which clearly is on the top of our agenda. And yes, a lot of interest on the EV side. I can only say with this new additional Hero electric order, you know, our position has been strengthened further and we will continue to push on this front while not ever removing our focus on our existing legacy customers. So that remains. Let's hope this year is, you know, at least free from COVID and that all of us are safe and we don't have any setbacks on that front and hoping that the commodity cycle also starts turning the other way. So that we have some, you know, better numbers going forward. Irrespective of that, we will continue pushing our efficiencies. And thanks for all your inputs and suggestions. On some cases, we have to revert back to you, which we will. So thank you, and all the very best, and stay safe.
Thank you, members of the management. On behalf of Gabriel India, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.